Just going to read some words from Revelation chapter 1 of John's vision of the risen Jesus. He was given this vision. He saw Jesus in glory as he was on the island of Patmos. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a gold sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were blazing like fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Lord, we would come just in these moments to bow the knee before your majesty. In our mind's eye, we just see a little of John's vision. Lord Jesus, you are there at the right hand of the Father in all your blazing glory. We're going to think about one day that we will see you in your glory. But Lord, in what sense can we see you today? In what sense have people seen you? Lord, just open our minds to this whole subject. In Jesus' name, amen. To see God. The year was 1961, and the Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin was the first human to travel into space, the first human to orbit the Earth. The atheistic astronaut came back and he declared, "I see no God up there." To which a Christian, Dr. Criswell, replied, "Let him take one step out of his space capsule for just one second, and he'll see God quickly enough." The reason why men don't always see God is that probably they don't want to see God. Because when you understand there is a God, it of course places obligations on you, doesn't it, to that God. To think that one day there is a God that you will meet and have to give an account to. And yet we have read, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." That we can meet God in a good place. Last time we looked at the term heart and saw that as well as describing the physical organ of the body, it meant the center of something, like firing an arrow into a target, hitting the heart of the target. But we also saw that the heart was the seat of our emotions, that the heart speaks of our essential personal character. Blessed are the pure in heart. We considered the subject of purity. We discover that God is 100% pure, and sadly that we are far from that. How are we, sinful people, going to stand before a holy God? Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we can be made pure. Relying on his death in our place, taking our judgment upon himself, God can see us through the purity of Jesus. It's like Jesus puts a pure white garment around us, and God sees us covered by Jesus. And we can have the hope that one day we can enter God's presence in Jesus, as many have done before. But in what sense can we see God now? In what sense will we see God in the future? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So what does it mean to see God? Has anyone ever seen the living God in this world? Well, I tell you, this subject has divided opinion amongst theologians through the years. But all I'm interested in is what the Bible actually says on the subject. So before we consider seeing God literally, to physically see God, I want to talk about the ways that we see God indirectly. Okay? So let's think about seeing God indirectly. I don't know if you've ever flown a kite, but one thing is for sure, you can't fly a kite if there is no wind. I don't know if you've ever attempted to do that, but the wind's very light. The kids are so keen to fly the kite, but there just isn't the wind to get it up in the air. And you don't see that wind when it comes, but you feel its effect. And that kite is lifted, isn't it, into the air by the wind, by the thermals. And it's like that when we talk of seeing God indirectly. Even though we might not see him physically with our eyes, we see his effects all around us. Firstly, here we see God in creation. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. The very world that we live in, as we've been singing about, I don't know if you noticed that in the songs, but we have been singing how the world speaks of a designer God. We see God in the beauty, don't we, of the world that he has made. We've messed it up, but what is naturally there is absolutely amazing. We are without excuse. As Nehemiah 9 verse 6 says, you alone are the Lord. You made the highest heavens and all their starry hosts and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. Whereas Mr. Gagarin could not, he said, see God, maybe didn't want to, many an American astronaut who went into space said, wow, I can see God in the beauty of his creation. Secondly, we see God in circumstances. World circumstances and personal circumstances. The hymn writer put it, God is working his purpose out as year succeeds to year. And if we look actually at world history with an open mind, we can see the purposes of God unfolding across the years. He allows empires to flourish and he brings them to nothing. Oliver Cromwell once said, what are all histories but God manifesting himself? Do you remember when we looked at the book of Daniel? That was a while back, wasn't it? And the various prophecies that Daniel was given of the empires that were coming afterwards. The visions that he saw, those different empires and how they actually came. And they stood for a time and then God brought them to nothing. As someone said, history is ultimately his story. Nothing can thwart ultimately God's plans for our world, and we need to hold on to that when times get tough. But not only do we see God in control of circumstances on the grand scale, but also we see God working in circumstances in our personal lives. I'm sure you may have stories to tell. I certainly have stories to tell how God has led at certain times. When I was about 12 or 13, my mum and dad noticed I didn't form my words clearly, and at times it was hard to discern what I was saying. Perhaps you're having that problem this morning. Eventually, I had lessons with a lady in my village who, as well as teaching me how to say, how now, brown cow, also put me in for public speaking exams. Who was in control of that? Who would have thought down the line that God was calling me to be a preacher? He did. He knew his plans for me. He gave me that speech impediment so that I learned properly. Well, you can be the judge of that. At times in our ministry, at the time we were leaving the church in Somerset after 10 years, we felt God was moving us on. We applied to different churches, and two churches took an interest in us at the same time. And in fact, both churches called me to be their pastor. And that was tough. Which do I choose? Where do I go? Do I go to that church in North London that is, it's got a lot of potential there, but it's a bit down at its heels at the moment. It's struggling, but maybe that's God's calling. Or do I go to the church in the village in Suffolk where there are a lot more children that I know our kids are going to settle into? Yeah, it's already fairly full and has potential and would be the easier option. And I remember sitting in a hotel room and just praying, God, please tell me, where should I go? What should I do? I'm not sure which route to take. And that morning I went to the railway station, came up an escalator, and there was a big sign in front of me for the Suffolk Tourist Board, and it said, choose Suffolk. Wow. And that was God's plan, and God brought us here, and God blessed, and God helped us to plant another church into Stowmarket. And God has been like that. And you see, I see God in circumstances. Can you think of things like that? Where God has been in the circumstances, where it's not just coincidence, but God is in control. We see God in creation, we see God in circumstances. Then, of course, we see God in conversion. Throughout the Bible and throughout history, we see lives that have been changed, don't we? That have been turned around by God. Very dramatically, we think of Paul on the road to Damascus, the great persecutor of the church. And God appears to him, and he's blinded by the vision, blinded by what he sees. And God turns him around to be one of the greatest followers of Jesus Christ, to be responsible for so much of what we have in God's word today and for the spread of the church. God transforms lives. My father-in-law was transformed at 50 years of age from being a Roman Catholic priest. He heard the story, he heard some teaching from an evangelical pastor. He wanted to know more. He had discussions, and at 50 came out of the Roman Catholic Church and went on to be used of God, writing Christian books in Spanish till into his 90s. And God transforms a life and turns it round. We heard on the men's walking weekend of God's transformation of Pete Batiste's life and of his son Justin, and many of you know the dramatic change that there was in Justin. Lives completely transformed by an encounter with God. Now, for some of us, it's less dramatic than that. That faith may grow over time. There might not be even a one-off occasion that we can point to, but we know that Christ has changed us. And we see it in people, don't we? We see people change and starting to display the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. We see God living in them. We see God in them. We see the effect of God in people's lives. People see God through a song. People see God through his word. There's so many ways that we could talk about how people see God. But what about seeing God directly? What about seeing God directly? Well, let me start with this, and this is going to throw a spanner in the works. John 1, verse 18. No one has seen God but the one and only Son. No one has seen God. That would seem, on first reading, to contradict our beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But let's think a little more on this. It's important to say God is essentially a spirit being. He is not bound. God the Father is not bound to a body like we are. God is spirit. So humanly, it's impossible for us to see all of God fully, isn't it? Because he's everywhere at the same time. I can't see Australia this morning, but God is in Australia. So how can I see the whole of God? We might also say that God is too bright to look at. You know, we're warned, aren't we, from being little children, don't look directly at the sun because it will damage your eyes. And I suppose it's a bit like that, looking at God in all his glory. It's like the sun multiplied a million times over. And so it's, how can we gaze at God? And yet, if we look in the Bible, God did clearly manifest himself to people. He did make himself known. In Exodus, God appeared to Moses in the form of a burning bush and tells him, don't come any closer, for the place you're standing is holy ground. And out of that bush, a voice comes and it says, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and of Jacob. And we read that Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. What did he see of God? I can't really tell you. But there was some kind of physical manifestation of God there, wasn't there? Exodus 24, Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu went up the mountain, and it says they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet something like a pavement of lapis lazuli, as bright as the sky. It's funny how they describe what was under his feet. Don't even attempt to describe what God was like. You know, he's just so awesome. Moses returned down off the mountain, didn't he, with a radiant face, having met with God. His face was glowing for having met with God. And there are other references of God appearing like an angel or like a man. And I believe that these are appearances of Jesus before he was born as a baby in Bethlehem. This is called, so let's go through these. Is it impossible to see God? God did appear to people. These are called theophanies. Have you heard of that word? A pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. I'll give you a couple of examples of that. Genesis 32, verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip. So his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it's daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask me my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." But Jacob had, in some way, has this encounter with God. Another example is, remember when we, again, were looking at Daniel and those three were put into the blazing furnace, and yet they looked and there was a fourth figure in there. Who was that fourth figure that was standing with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego? I believe a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. I have a book on Theophanes. Anybody wants to read it? You can read it and discover the ways that I believe Jesus appeared even before he came as a baby in Bethlehem. And this, of course, leads us ultimately to the fact that God allows himself to be seen in a way that we can comprehend in the person of his son Jesus, who took on flesh and blood and became a man. Jesus became a man like us in the world. And yet Jesus made the claim that he was God. So in that sense, when people saw Jesus, they saw God, didn't they? And actually, Jesus says in John 14, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." That Jesus is God revealing himself to us in a way that we can understand. And then, of course, we have John's vision of the risen, glorified Jesus that we began with. So in conclusion, maybe to see God in the fullest sense lies beyond our natural grasp here and now. But the Beatitudes says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Surely it's not too much to expect that we will see Jesus in eternity. That we will see the nail prints in his hands and feet. That we will see the mark of where the spear went in his side. Now we only see a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13. Have you ever bought one of those limited edition prints of a picture? It says in the corner something like number 12 of 150. You know the ones? It's a copy, isn't it? It's a shadow of the real thing. How much better it is if you actually get the original, the watercolour that was done by the artist. And similarly, I believe we will see the original one day, face to face. Whatever experiences of God we have now will pale into in comparison, compared to the glorious view that we will have of Jesus in heaven. Does God have a face for us to see? Certainly Jesus does. But we will also see God through new resurrection bodies, probably without the limitations of these bodies. God might be beyond our human sight just now, but will we simply have human eyes in eternity, or will we be able to see God in ways that are beyond us now? Well, you can argue all these things. The important thing, I believe, is that the God we will see will be beyond our wildest imaginations. It is that anticipation of one day seeing their Saviour that has kept many a believer going in life and has helped the believer facing death And this is our comfort, isn't it, when we've lost a loved one who loved Jesus, that they have gone to be with Jesus, to see him face to face. I don't know if you've heard of the blind pianist, Peter Jackson. You heard of him? He passed away in 2016. He was blinded by measles at the age of 18. And he used to say this, barring a miracle, the next face I will see is that of Jesus. The next face I will see is that of Jesus. And my eyes, he said, are reserved for seeing him. Isn't that wonderful? My eyes are reserved for him. John says in the second coming of Jesus, 1 John 3 verse 2, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Wow. If that doesn't thrill our hearts, then we haven't grasped who Jesus is and what he's done for us. How vital it is to know that you will see this Jesus as your Lord, your Saviour, your friend, your King. I fear for anyone who is simply going to meet Jesus as their judge. Because it does say that hell is actually to be banished from the presence of God forever. How vital it is to trust the cross of Jesus, if you haven't already done so, that you may, when you see his face, look with joy, as the man born blind did. Step forward in faith, folks. Trust in Jesus today, and be sure that you will see him, your Lord, your Saviour, your King. Amen.